We're doing the Drashot Aran. Now we're up to page Kuf Chaf in the Machon Shalem edition, Reish Ein Zayin in the Musada of Kuk edition, Vechan Mina Yehudim Agdolim. The Ran had been discussing our job over here, to be God-fearing people. He went to great lengths describing the type of Yirat Shamayim. He said there are two types of Yir'ah. There's a Yir'ah that one is fearful. What's God going to do to me if I don't listen? And then there's a Yir'ah where a person is in awe. He has tremendous respect for who Hashem is. And he said, that's what the verse says. If only they would always be so God-fearing. We say God-fearing is the lower level. So the Ran says, well, it depends which type of God-fearing. There's the God-fearing which is low, which is just the guy is just scared of punishment and he's really serving himself in his service of Hashem. Then there's the God-fearing which is high, when a person has a tremendous appreciation, tremendous awe of Hashem. And that's the other type of God-fearing person. And that's what Hashem says, Mi Yitain. I wish it were so. Hashem is referring to the concept that this is an area which Hashem leaves up to us. Hashem says, it's our responsibility. Hashem keeps telling us, you know, I wish you do it. I want you to do it. But it's our job to do it. Ve'echad min ha'yehudim ha'gdolim she'yed b'viyat ha'mashiach huzeh. And one of the great things that are to come in the days of the Messiah is this idea that we will keep the Torah. Ke'omro ki az efoch la'amim safa brura liko kulam shem shem lo'avdo shchem echad. Hashem says, I will speak to the nations at that time in a clear language where they will all unite to serve Hashem together. V'ratza b'zeh. What the verse means is, ki chol ha'umot yashuvu le'emunato, le'emunateinu. That all the nations will join us. They'll all join our faith. B'chlalei Torah v'efrateha. They will all unite and say, we want to keep the Torah in general and in detail. That's what the Talmud says in Tractate of Avodah Zarah. Ma'ot v'lechavrei l'Rabbi Eliezer. What did Rabbi Eliezer's friends ask him? When Rabbi Eliezer said, we don't accept offerings from non-Jews, so what did his friends answer him? They said, the verse says, Kol tzon kedar yikabetzu lach. All the sheep of Kedar, of the Yishma'elim, will be brought to you. Meaning the Arab tribes will gather all their sheep to bring them as sacrifices in the temple. So the rabbi said to Rabbi Eliezer, what do you mean we don't accept sacrifice offerings from non-Jews? You see, the prophet describes the non-Jews' sacrifice. Amalem Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer said, no, that's not what the verse means. Rather, kulam gerim gmurim im latid lavo. The verse is describing how the nations will convert in the future. So then they'll be Jewish. Then we'll accept their sacrifices. Shneemar, ki az efoch lamim safa brura. As the verse says, then I will turn to the nations speaking a clear language. The understanding here is that they will all recognize this is the way to go. Matkiv l'Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asks, what kind of proof is that? Maybe that verse means they will stop being pagans. But who says they will stop their other habits? The Talmud over there is discussing how concerned are we that the pagans would be sleeping with their animals. If a human slept with an animal, so then that disqualifies the animal from a sacrifice. So the rabbi said, we accept a sacrifice from a non-Jew. And Rabbi Eliezer said not. Some of my students told me that in their security cameras, they have many videos of Arab shepherds sleeping with their sheep. They said it's a very common thing that they see on the security cameras. The Talmud was discussing how concerned are we? Would we accept the sacrifice from a non-Jew, from a pagan? Or are we concerned that he slept with the animal before he brought it? So Rabbi Eliezer says, we don't accept it. The rabbi said, yes, we do. So the rabbi said to Rabbi Eliezer, you see, it says the law brings sacrifices in the future. Rabbi Eliezer says, so what? That's talking about when they convert. Then I'm not worried he's sleeping with his sheep. But that doesn't prove anything about now. So Rav Yosef says, wait a second. When the verse says they'll all unite, God will speak to them clearly, So I understand they'll stop being pagans and they'll stop sleeping with their animals. That doesn't mean they'll convert to Judaism. That means they'll understand that there's a moral minimum they have to live up to. Amalei, so they answered him, no. The verse says, Le'ovdo Shechem Echad. The verse says they'll all unite in the service of Hashem. It's not only the verse that says, I will speak to them clearly. That verse you can interpret that they'll understand that they should keep the Noahide laws. But when the verse says they'll unite and serve Hashem in unison, Le'ovdo Shechem Echad, that verse indicates they will convert. So there you see, the Talmud held in interpreting the prophets that the nations will convert. And not only with regard to stopping to sleep with their animals, but even in regards to the details of the mitzvos. And that's what the verse says. The verse in Eicha, in Lamentations, the verse says, Zion, you suffered so much. The verse says, what testimony can I give about you, Jerusalem? What can I compare you to? What can I compare you to and comfort you? When a person suffers and you tell him, you know, I had a similar thing, so that's comforting. The person hears, okay, someone else went through that and they made it. So God says to Jerusalem, who can I compare you to? Zion, the Virgin of Zion. No one else suffered like you did. Ki gadol chayam shivrech. Your destruction is as great as the sea. So I can't compare you. So that's the verse in Lamentations. Our sages said, what does it mean? Ma ashvelach vanachamech. What can I compare to you and comfort you? Lecheshe ashvelach anachamech. When I will equate with you, then I will comfort you. That's what the Medrash learns from this pasuk. Ha-perush yadua. It's well known, the interpretation of that Medrash. She-kol ha-ktatot she-beinenu uvein ha-umot hen besibat chiluf ha-emunah. The reason that there's arguments between us and the nations is because we have different religions. Kmo shamru b'Shabbat, as the Talmud says in Tractate Shabbos, amaleu m'rabanan l'Rav Kahana. One of the rabbis asked Rav Kahana, Mishmialach, Mai Hal Sinai, do you have a tradition? Why is it called Mount Sinai? Amar lo, he answered him, Har she'nasah bo nisim liYisrael. He said to him, one interpretation, Sinai comes from the word nisim. Miracles were done on behalf of Israel. Har Sinai, so the Talmud asks, Hal nisai mibayle, why is it Sinai? That's nisai, not Sinai. Nis is a miracle, not sin. Sinai is the, you got to flip the words around. It should be Nisa'i, not Sinai. Answers the Gemara, Har she'nasah bo siman tov liYisrael. No, that mountain was a good sign for Israel. So then the Gemara says, Har Sinai mibayle. If it was a siman, if it's a sign, good things were done, so then it should be Har Sinai with an M in the middle, not Sinai. So he said, why don't you stick around before Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua? They're close followers over of Rav Chista's teachings. Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua, they both taught my house Sinai. Why is it called Mount Sinai? Sinai is from the word sin'ah, hatred. On that mountain, we always say, Sinai is where we received the Torah. Sinai is where we received hatred. That's where anti-Semitism began. So, the arguments between us and the nations stem from Sinai. And if the nations will be equated with us, that's what the verse says in Lamentations. Ma ashvelach. What can I equate to you? When I equate to you, when the nations will agree with you, then anachameich, that'll be my comfort to you. That's what the Medrash says on the verse. Ukmo shamru, and as our sages taught, im timtzu todima tegidu lo shecholat ahava ani. In the Song of Songs, so the girl is outside, she's looking for her beloved. She's going at night, she's beaten by the guards, and she meets the other girls, and she tells them, have you seen my beloved? If you find him, tell him, im timtzu et todi, if you find my beloved, matagidulo, you know what you should tell him? Shecholat ahava ani, tell him I'm lovesick. Tell him I miss him. She tries to leave the message somewhere. Maybe someone's going to meet him and tell him. Hagidu lo. So our sages say, who's the girl? We know, we're the girl. The girl in the Song of Songs is the people of Israel. And our sages say, what are we saying? Tell him, tell our beloved, tell God. Shekol cholayim shumot ola meviyot alai, einam ela bishvil shani ohev toto. Tell him that all my suffering in this world is because I love him. Yesterday I heard something, I didn't get to verify it. On my way to the machon, I met a friend, and he told me that the UN definition of fugitive is someone who is kicked from out of his native land. Everywhere in the world but Israel. In Israel, refugee is someone who lived in Israel 2 years and was asked to leave his land. The term refugee, because if you check the history of what they call the Palestinian people, many of them in 48, there were workers who were coming here to work. They came here because this is where they could find employment. Things were developing here and they could make money here, so they came here. And then when 1948, so they became the refugees. But they don't have a history here, and they can even trace their roots, and that's what the Hezbollah claims. If you see that there are many times there are advertisements for the Hezbollah and in Egypt, and they all say, come back to your roots, we're all one, you're our people. They say it openly.
The Palestinians until a certain period of time, right? The Jews were, you look, the Palestine Poles, but does it matter once people, even if it's a false national identity, once people actually have it in themselves, we say in Yichi Kavod, right, before Ashrei, when the nations will no longer exist, but we know that 70 nations will bring sacrifices. So I'm guessing they must be talking about false nations, but in their own mind, for sure, there's a national identity. No question.
Okay, I'm just saying it's an example. Why do they hate us? Why would the UN change their definition of a refugee for one little country of Israel? Every other country has a definition of refugee. We have a different definition of refugee.
I mean, you know, you could understand, here you have this guy that's making all these demands on us, which you can't even see. You can see why in the primitive times people would hate it, but they today supposedly accept Ten Commandments, there was a revelation in Sinai. So it's odd today that you're right. It doesn't mean that they would still have this, but it makes sense that they, I guess they do. You know what I'm saying? You know, to today, even if they change the definition and still have a hatred, they also acknowledge certain wisdom here.
What did you say that Hezbollah says openly?
They say we're one with you. There are advertisements where they say your roots are in Lebanon. You came from Lebanon. We're all brethren.
Arab nation.
What?
What?
That is true.
Yeah.
He came from north of Egypt.
Well, God forbid it should ever happen. But if they ever destroy us, I think that would be their reason for existing as a separate nation. And after that, I don't know.
May I ask you something? Don't enjoy too much. I mean, we talk about food. So if you want to go to buy, let's say, meat from Germany or so, somewhere, or fruits or vegetables, so you must be careful. You don't know what they do. They say many things about... I know I come from Romania, but they talk about animals in the... so bad way, so you eat that meat. You cut, I mean, we cut and eat in Romania. So if you try, you become crazy. I mean, it's not possible to eat that meat. It's slaughter kosher, yeah, but...
You're saying eating an animal that was violated against the Noahide laws.
Violated. Say bad things about the animal. They don't go too far. But say bad things about the animal. Of course, the animal, I talk like this, and all the things. I mean, what is animal for? It's an animal. But people are angry and doesn't know that you can eat this.
If it has a hechsher, if they say it's kosher, then that's okay. Here we're talking about sacrificing in the temple. There we have a different standard. So the Ran says... that tam bezeh, what's the reasoning that we're we're suffering here because we love Him. Mipnei shevdilanu Hashem itbach min ha'olmot, because God separated us from the nations. Shelo nitchaten bam, we can't intermarry. Veshelo nochal min ha'machalim ha'asurim, we can't just go into a restaurant. We don't go into Burger King and McDonald's. We can't eat the foods they eat. V'arichuk ve'avdel mevi al kol panim lidei sinan. At the end of the day, says the Ran, when you're different, when you eat different and you marry different, you behave different, so then that breeds hatred. Ulfichach amru, and that's why the Talmud says, lichshashvelach anachamech, when I equate to you, then I will comfort you. Kloma lichshashvelach shar omot, when they become like you. Shekulan yu be'emunah achat imach, they will join your faith, then anachamech, I will comfort you. Then you will have a complete comfort. Then you will no longer have to worry about war or the hatred of the nations against you. And that's what the Medrash concludes, when the day comes, when Hashem alone will be fortified, so to speak, the nations will all recognize that He is omnipotent. That's on the days of the Messiah. And that's what Yaakov Avinu alluded to when he prophesied about the Messiah. Yaakov Avinu said, "Lo yasur shevet miyudam chokek ni ben raglavat ki avo shilo v'lo yikehat amin." Judea will maintain the leadership, the authority, till he reaches Shiloh and nations gather around him. What does that mean? Shiloh melech haMashiach, kmo shamar Unklus. Unklus translates, what? Ad ki avo Shiloh, ad yeitei Meshicha. Till the Messiah comes, v'amar v'lo yikehat amin, where Judea will lead Israel till the point of Shiloh, till the point of the Messiah, and then nations will gather around him, v'yore lehem mishpatav, all the nations, ki kulam yitkabtzu elav, all the nations will gather around the Mashiach, v'yore lehem mishpat, and he will teach them. So that's the interpretation, and we will pick up with this pasuk Bezrat Hashem in 2 weeks. Next week, Bezrat Hashem, I won't be here. Next Friday. This pasuk is a very important pasuk. This is one of the fundamental psukim that philosophically we differed with many religions. We have our tradition, and they have their claims of how to interpret this pasuk. And next week, we'll pick up with this pasuk. He will elaborate on it. What we saw today, the Ran had discussed the concept of Yirat Shamayim, being a God-fearing person. One of the great hopes we have is we look forward to the days of the Messiah when the nations will unite in the service of Hashem. He proved it from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the rabbis argue with Rabbi Eliezer about whether we accept sacrifices from the nations or not. And the argument revolves around verses describing the nations offering sacrifices. Are they talking about now? Are they talking about the days of the Messiah? And then he also quoted from Sinai, that hatred came down at Sinai. And in the Song of Songs, she says, "I am lovesick. I am sick because I love. Because I love you, I am sick and I suffer at the hands of the nations." But when the nations, what is the comfort that Hashem gives us in Lamentations? That the nations will be equated to us, and then we will have comfort. There will cease to be wars, there will cease to be anti-Semitism, because there will be a unification in the goals. We will all be serving the same omnipotent one. And he ended with a verse that he claims describes that period, the verse in Jacob's final prophecy. And next time we learn, Bezrat Hashem, in 2 weeks, we will learn about how he actually sees that in the verse. It's not so simple to see that in the verse.